Hello there, and welcome back to Rolling in the Deep podcast. I am Adele, owner of Babies on Broadway, and I am here with my main gal, Summer. We say our podcast is babies, business, life, everything and beyond. And so today we are going to do a little business topic. It's fresh on our minds. By the time you are listening to this, our website, it's launched and live currently, but we are hoping it is 1000% fully functioning by the time you guys hear this.
Fingers crossed, toes crossed, all crosses possible.
Right. So today's podcast is website, the good, the bad, and the beast. That's what Summer named it.
I did.
I enjoy that.
It's been a real process.
It has been. And so I'm going to preface this with our podcast today is really just on maybe what I've learned along the way. And if I can pass some advice on to someone else who is looking at potentially, you know, doing a website.
Reboot. Yeah.
Yeah. And maybe not even just a reboot, whether you're starting from scratch or if you are going to redevelop what you already have. I certainly think I could give you some tips and pointers on that. So let's rewind a little bit. I have been in business for 11 years at this point. And when I first started, to be quite frankly honest with you, a website wasn't the most important thing. You needed a website. You need to get your business out there, you know, those types of things. But initially, we had kind of decided to just do like an informational-ish website that kind of showed the products. And I didn't have an e-commerce platform on it at all. When I first started my business, actually, my brother is in the programming field. He's a computer science whiz and actually works for a company in Edina. And they do some website development and programming in that aspect. You know how it is with construction. Like if you're a construction worker, your house never gets done. Yep. It was kind of the same thing in terms of like he had his own work to be doing for his own paid job. And it was just kind of difficult to come around to managing and developing a website for my store. So I had been speaking to one of my radio reps. They said that they do these websites. And I was like, sure, why not? It seems like a reasonable and functional idea. So that is where I first started my website 11 years ago, has just an informational site. In store, we have what you call a point of sale system. So we refer to that as a POS, not a piece of shit, but sometimes it is a piece of shit. Like, let's be honest.
Exactly.
So we have an in-store POS system that I had researched and got in. And actually, to be quite honest with you, it's fairly featureful and I got used to that. So this is where things I think got a little bit complicated. It had a pretty full reporting system, in-store inventory system, could do special orders, layaways. And I know that all sounds very trivial, like most systems should have these things. But the reality is they don't. So the system that I had in store was pretty robust. And then I had this informational website. Well, as time went on, we did decide to kind of flip over like a little bit of an e-commerce platform to our website. The company that we were with started offering it. We were one of their first ones. We didn't sell a ton online, but we started putting our products online. The funny thing is when you think about this, that means that like the inventory that we have on store and our website, they don't talk because they're two different systems. So this is pretty common, I would say, back in the day for people who had an online brick and mortar store and decided to go to an e-com platform. Then you'll have other businesses that are simply just e-com platforms, right? So these are places that are only selling online and maybe don't have an in-store presence. So I feel like in some ways, for those people, it might have actually been the easier solution because the e-com platforms kind of caught on to doing a point of sale system before the point of sale systems caught on to talking to, you know, e-com platforms. Because when we think about it, fast forward to today, currently our online POS system does not actually speak to an online platform still to this moment. I think that I had the hope specifically in 2020 that it would all catch itself up, but we did grow to a point where our online business really grew and developed. Mm-hmm. And so this game of trying to perfectly and accurately keep inventory going when you could physically be in my store and checking something out and then it's purchased online at the same time if I don't get it exactly spot on. And when we grew, that started to happen quite frequently.
It really did. As crazy as it sounds.
Yeah. I mean, and it would be like the most random one-off item. And then you're having to call a customer and they're going to be irritated because they just thought they purchased something and you can't.
You sold what I already bought?
It was like at the same time, like literally.
Yeah, simultaneously. Yes, as crazy as that is.
Or you're just off by one. I mean, it is whatever it is. It was not pretty for a while.
No.
So in 2020, we kind of started realizing we have a problem and that we were going to have to find a solution to it. And in the back of my head, I just kept thinking, my POS system will come up with something that talks. It has to. Like it just has to. We ended up kind of flipping our online host had switched their e-commerce platform to a little bit more of a robust platform. And it was an upgrade from what we had.
Yeah.
So we were running with that, growing with that, but still did not have talking systems. And it got to a point for me, I would say end of 2022, where we really started getting to the point of starting to get quotes to do, you know, a new website. That actually my initial thing was, how can I make my in-store POS talk to online?
That was our goal.
Yeah. All of my other storefronts were going to Shopify. Like it is a all-in-one box system where you can have a pretty decent online store. Mm-hmm. And then they came out with a POS system, so a point of sale system for your in-store. And here's the problem I had, you guys, is that every single system I demo for my in-store was so like diminished from what I was used to that I was really struggling. So I had demoed, I mean, tons of these things. Like people would suggest tons of them, whether it was, you know, Shopify's system, Lightspeed system, you know, EPOS. I mean, I could just go on and on to the ones Rain, like all these new ones coming out. And like, I'm doing demos. I'm like, does it do this? Does it do that? Like, you know, all these Clover systems that people use, Square, all of it. It didn't do anything that I needed it to do. And I'd be losing essentially like, you know, 7-8 years at this point data. Of all of my data that yes. I had had. And so it was a really large struggle for me to be like, yes, like I want to switch to this terrible in-store system just to have an online system that's prettier and more function, you know, and it would talk. Right. That was like the biggest thing, right?
It was.
So I struggled and struggled looking at these systems. And then at one of my events that I was at one time was introduced to a guy who kind of did this in the food industry, who then introduced me to a website guy. And in the meantime, I had had definitely other quotes of, you know, website development. I mean, I probably had piles of different quotes and things to try to come up with a solution. So mind you, my first solution truly was to get my in-store existing POS to talk to my online. That was my main thing. Like, that is what I wanted. I wanted accurate inventory so that we could put everything we had in store online and we could sell things harmoniously without having to call you and cancel your order, unless it was a very rare occasion for something. And that was kind of where we started. So I was given the name of a company who, you know, was like, let's make a plan to make these two systems start, you know, talk to each other. That isn't Shopify. You know, right. Because here's the thing, as time went on, my friends who had done the Shopify did start complaining quite heavily about their in-store, you know, point of sale system that they have, like that it was missing a lot of the features. And to get it to the point where you wanted, you actually had to add on all these things and it became very cost prohibitive to run this type of site. And that didn't even include like your online hosting and like the processing that they're requiring you to do through them. And so it, although it is, I think, a great system for some, for sure, like it absolutely works for some people, the dynamic that we have with the amount of products and the different depth of the products that we sell is actually rather complicated. Mm-hmm. So my first piece of advice to anyone out there who is looking for an e-com website is know your products and understand how complicated they are. And make sure that who you are getting a quote from and who you are working with also fully understand like what you are dealing with.
That makes sense.
There's metrics that, believe it or not, online websites like these boxed up ones, like even Shopify, like a very simple version of Shopify might not be able to do size and color. Like both of those variations in internal products can be difficult. So that means you might have to be listing your products one by one by one by one by one. So you have this one in purple, green, and yellow in size small, and they all have to be separate listings. Or you can do all your purples in small, medium, and large. You know what I mean? But then you can't do this same style in all of these. So I think understanding those like weird little nuances is really important before you buy a system, hop on a system, and then realize it doesn't work.
Right.
So clothing specifically actually can get you in those with those big sizes and different, you know, lots of different patterns. And we see a lot of clothing stores popping up. So please be careful when you are getting into those that you understand exactly what type of metrics that you need for your site. The other thing is product limitations, understanding how many products your site can host. A lot of them have, you know, a limitation of certain amounts of products. Maybe it's 1,000 products. Maybe it's, you know, 2,000 products. What if you have 10,000?
Right.
I think the other thing to understand is where can it scale you to? So one of the things that I think I tried to really focus on when I was working on the website plan that we had was, what do I need for the future, not just the now. And I think what we decided was that I was looking for this temporary fix of like, I want this and this to talk. But I don't know that that really solved our overarching issue of how we can continue to grow and scale.
Right.
And then also add in like this medical side to it where we didn't really have a system or process that we were already growing in.
Yeah.
So that was something else that, you know, I think became a bigger project than we had anticipated, which is my next piece of takeaway from this, is that if you're starting a product with a purpose, like somewhere along the lines, I kind of lost my purpose and did this like big grand project, which hopefully long term will be the solution that we need. But I think when I think about it right now, to this moment, as it functions right now, it still doesn't do the basic thing we wanted it to do in the beginning, which was talk to our online or our online talks to in-store. That has not turned on yet. So as we sit here today, and it is 20 months later, I want to say, we do not have a talking system. Now, I do believe that that is in the very near future. You know, we had to get kind of through some hurdles. And the other piece of advice that I would say is like, as you are changing the scope in your plans and coming up with new ideas, has most business owners are going to be visionary. You know, you're running straight forward. You have tons of thoughts and ideas, and you usually need what they call an integrator to rein your ass in, because you probably have grand ideas that you just want to keep going and going and going and going. And the reality is the developer on the other side is going to run right with you because they're probably the same.
Right.
If you're working with the owner of the company, they're like, let's run together like frolicking deers on the grass. Visionary. Until you get hit by a car. So that
your
can
integrator
happen.
Trips you.
Or your integrator doesn't even, and you just keep frolicking until literally you get smacked by a semi or run right into one. So that being said, is trying to understand how those changes in scopes and ideas will affect you. Yeah, and maybe affect your staff and your company operations. For the last specifically 8 months, the operational function among staff has been
stressful.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. You know, I took on this project that was larger than anticipated to begin with. We've had a site that it's been living on ICU.
Mm-hmm.
It's on life support, man. And a couple times it's died and come back to life, I think. And you know, it's not good for customers. It's not good for staff. There's very odd nuances about it while it was living on ICU land.
Very.
Yeah. And then you're just like hoping that whatever you're doing in this back end, you know, gets you to the front or grand scale of things that you want it to be. But I think like if I had fully understood from the beginning, you know, maybe like the scope of the project I was actually trying to take on, mm-hmm. and the true time frame that might take someone, instead of just being so hopeful that it would all work perfectly, because we all know projects don't. And especially I think when you're working in the world of development and, you know, websites and things like that, things can go really wrong to no one's fault.
Right.
There's things that are unpredictable.
Like a back end side that you don't even like know exists.
Yeah. Like you don't even know it's going to be a problem. Like for instance, I believe that what kind of happened with one of, like the first time we were supposed to launch in January, the staging site that we were working on and everything looked good. And we were so excited to launch it. And the problem was we switched our DNS, our server pointed to our live, like we went live and the live launch was a disaster. There was these issues that were causing essentially the site to have a large delay in it. And I'm talking like large, where you just don't think our site works at all. Maybe a 45-second delay. You're like, this is
you
not...
You leave.
Yeah. Like, why are you even here, right? And it was a lot of things I don't even understand. It was caching issues. It was DNS issues. It was Google crawlers. Like, you name it, it was
so
happening.
Many.
And the only true way to fix it was to strip down the site to ICU and honestly to rebuild the whole dang thing. And the scope of that is insane.
It's ginormous. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And so for the last 8 months, we've been watching this dying site on ICU. We've been, you know, hoping that whatever we rebuild, which essentially, you know, to me looks the same as what we built the first time. So like, it's hard for me to wrap my head around, how is this different than that? How do you know it's not going to happen again? How, you know, like all these questions,
right, the trauma
that will never make sense in my brain.
Yes.
So no matter how much I want to understand it, I don't have the capacity. It's not my area of expertise.
Right.
So my other takeaway is like making sure that you fully trust who you're working with, that they have the capacity to take your project to where you want it to be. One of the things we did early on ours was create this entire process for our medical side. And that process was functional for us. It went well. The medical site finally got up. We hadn't had one. It was really good. It was a really good experience.
Really good.
So when the retail side went wonk, which was supposed to be the easiest side.
It was very confusing.
It was really confusing. Yeah. And when the retail site went sideways, we also then couldn't integrate our POS, which was the talking piece, because that was completely tied to the website, because that's how they were going to talk, right? So if the website's not functioning, you can't have your in-store system either.
No, you can't.
So that is where we got stuck. So for those of you, I think, that are out there and contemplating like doing a new site, you know, or whether it's e-com, whether it's informational, you know, just like really, truly like understanding the scope of your project. And it is really hard because like, I'm all about like, if you're going to a doctor, get a second opinion, but I don't know that that's always necessarily helpful either. I got lots of quotes, right? And how do you know like
which one's right? Right. That'd be so hard.
And like what, like when it's a language you don't speak,
right?
You know, and it's not your area of expertise, like it's very difficult to understand.
Such a big decision for a wheelhouse that you have no under, like you just don't know at all.
It's traumatic.
It is.
Yeah.
And it's so risky.
Yeah. Yeah. And it's expensive. I mean, be prepared for that too. Like this is not an inexpensive journey. If you're going with one of these like all-in-one plug-in systems, like these little boxes that seem really easy and simple, which some of them certainly are, just also they'll be aware that there's probably hidden costs all over the place. You know, so knowing that too and understanding that piece of it, you also don't own that site. So one of the things, or not that you don't own it, that's not really the right word, but you don't have full control. And neither necessarily do you like with like the developers, like let's say we're working with either. But here's the difference. Like when I want to change something fundamentally on my site that I previously had, it was completely ran by a third party. So in order for me to get like big fundamental changes to my site that I needed, I'd have to wait on this third party. And it did get to the point where we couldn't even change our own banners on our site.
Oh, it's so stupid.
Yeah. And you'd have days of like waiting for a third party to get back to you. I mean, at one point, our site went down.
Yeah.
Remember January 1st. So our old site, like I'm not talking about the new one, not our ICU site that we tried to launch and it went. Our actual old site, something happened where like the DNS didn't update correctly and it kept telling everyone there was a grave security risk and wouldn't let you on our site. Mind you, this happened over New Year's Eve. So a ton of people were trying to spend their HSA money.
Yes.
And there was no fix for it. We actually were just dead for, I think it was 5 days.
It was a while.
Before they could get it back up and fixed. Waiting on a third party. So unacceptable. What I will tell you is like, we are working one-on-one with our developer. And although there were unforeseen things that happened, generally when I send a changeover, I mean, the one guy, I swear to God, he doesn't sleep. And you might get your change 5 seconds later.
You might.
There is a live chat box that chats with us and it's a person.
It's real.
He has a name.
He will respond.
And he will respond, which is unhealthy. So we try not to use it.
We do wish he would sleep more.
Yeah. Yeah, we do. And so that being said, I mean, so those are some of the differences, is understanding where your support comes from. Over the years with our in-store POS system, I used to have a pretty good, like they used to have a pretty good support team. It got real bad for a while.
Yeah.
Yeah. Where you were on hold for so long. Like it says it's 24-hour support, but you ain't getting 24-hour support.
I think
support.
It has gotten better again.
It has.
Yeah.
Yeah. The last few times.
The last couple of calls seem to be swift and real little responsive. Easier. And
Yeah. So, I mean, I think that those are just maybe some takeaways if you're looking for doing a website, is really understand who you're working with. I think that word of mouth is probably your best bet. Like finding someone's website that you really, really like and know.
Yeah.
And then asking them how their process went, like really, truly, how did your process
pick their
go?
Brain,
the
yes.
good, the bad, the ugly,
the beast,
the beast. Like, what did you find? And we call ours the beast because literally we're 20 months in and just a lot of unexpected hurdles that were very stressful, not just on us, like everybody, like our staff, our customers, the developers who are doing it too.
All of us.
All of us. It was not pretty. And so I just think truly like finding what works for you, finding a similar site. Maybe they have similar depth of product, you know, maybe they have, you know, experiences that they can tell you about what happens when your site crashes. So one of the things that I've heard about Shopify quite a bit from my storefront owners is their freaking whole system will go down. And I'm talking like their in-store system too. Like, so you cannot wait on a customer. Like, you literally can't check them all. Like, we've had that happen a couple times with power outages or right. like our system, but it's always been fixable.
It has.
I would lose my mind. I would lose it. I would literally lose my mind. I mean, that is,
if it's
like
my system.
Yeah.
That's awful.
That's awful. So once I heard that more than once, like, and it kind of became habitual, I was like, oh, on top of not having half the features I want, now you crash out of nowhere. Like, you're all mm-hmm. like, what's happening with my site, my mm-mm. and my store? I'm like, oh, no, thank you. Mm-hmm. Yeah, you scare me. Yeah.
Yeah.
And again, I think I know a ton of people who are on it and it works well for them and they do millions of dollars of business on Shopify sites. So look, I'm not like, it wasn't for me.
Yeah.
I'm used to something different. So it's just like their in-store didn't quite do it for me. I've had a ton of people. So our old website platform that was called Equid was actually bought by Lightspeed. And honestly, like looking back at it, although it had the third party piece to it that could be tricky, a lot of people ran their in-store POSs off Lightspeed for years, and it's a fairly featureful system. And on the back end of the website, it was pretty user-friendly, you know? So I mm-hmm. think that that could it certainly was. Be a contender for people. I will tell you the one that like put us on ICU was Woo. I mean, I don't know if everybody has that experience or not, but WooCommerce for us was not great. It like ate our site for dinner or something. Yes, I'm not sure did. What happened with it. Like, again, I don't speak the language, so I don't know. I just know that it put us in the intensive care unit
for a while
and needed rebuilding. Mm-hmm. But I am happy to say that today it went live this morning and it's really pretty.
It's very nice.
Yeah. It's real fast.
You took the words out of my mouth.
The resolution.
There's no 45 second lag.
It's so pretty. Like there's a spinning
box. Please check it out.
The search bar works. It searches so many things. Like it's just really nice. And it's what I had spent months like designing and like creating in my head. And it just like, it was so nice. Like I almost got emotional tears of just how functional it was. I'm like, oh my gosh, good. It's off of ICU. I like called Summer. I'm like, look, you can search words.
It's they, wonderful.
They bring up things that, you
that
know,
are
when
relevant to the search word.
So there is a few things that currently need a little zhuzhing on it, you know, that weren't going to transfer perfectly that we'll have fixed and up and running probably by the time you're hearing this podcast, we certainly hope.
Yep.
And then we are on to our in-store POS where they can talk and we will be so excited because we can put all our clothing online. We can like do some things we really have not been able to do and truly. Refocus on that. So we're very, very excited about those things. And then we, our final step will be really then honing in our medical side as mm-hmm. well and improving a few little quirks we have on that and some design aspects. And then we just hope to be rolling. But yes. I hope for anyone who's listening to this, this can kind of give you some questions to ask, some things to understand, and really just look into the details of what you're getting into. Do demos where they're showing you the process of what it's going to look like from start to finish so you can ask questions mm-hmm. if it doesn't look normal to you. Pretty much everywhere I caught something was when I was doing a online demo of a POS system. Like they just kind of want to show you how you add something to a cart, how the customer checks out, like this, this, this. And I'm like, well, where do I do like special orders or things I don't have in stock? Or can we do a layaway option? Do you have a registry integration? What if I need this and this in a different size and color? Like, how does this work? What, you know, and then it became really like evident to me that, oh, like, well, you have to add on this feature and to get this report, you need this feature. And each one was like $49 a month, $50 a month, $75 a month, $20 a month for this. Before you know it, it's completely unreasonable. So I just think really asking those questions and understanding yes. your needs is probably the biggest thing. Now, if you're just like throwing up a little online site and, you know, whatever, I think a box little program is probably fine for you. But find other people in your industry. Do it in a tactful way. Please don't go ask your competition, like your direct competition. Like if they're 10 miles down the road for you, please don't go ask them about selling the same product in the area. But a lot of times there's buying groups or networks of people all mm-hmm. over the nation. There's Boutique Hub. There's, right. you know, we have one for the baby industry. There's one for toy industry. I'm sure there's one for clothing industry. Find a resource that you can utilize correctly mm-hmm. and appropriately. And you know, use that to gauge people and then find sites that you love.
Yes.
You know, I would look at sites like, I'd literally Google things like classy black and gold sites, like clean modern sites. And then I'd go to different sites and see how they function, then try to find something in the category I was in, and then try to find the depths of the product I was in and try to figure out what it was running on. You know, I think all of those things are helpful to do some research on.
Yeah.
And then get a trusted referral, understand your cost going into it. If you start changing the scope, stop yourself and make sure that you understand what that price is going to be, you know, so that you can properly plan to get the system that you want in the end for the price that you expected.
Yeah.
And those are kind of like my tips on that. So if you're in website good, bad, and the beast, good luck to you. I hope you find a great resource, and please check out ours. We'd be happy to share any experiences with you. And thanks for tuning in to the Rolling in the Deep podcast, and make sure that you check us out on all our platforms, and we will see you soon.
Talk to you later.
Bye-bye.